Egipto, tenemos a Nidin, que ella va a hablar en inglés. Nidin, you have 20 minutes, and I will have to act as a referee in football. When 5 minutes, when we are 5 minutes to the end of the presentation, it's a yellow card, and it's a red card when it's over, okay?
Okay. I'll fit to it. Good morning, everybody. We agreed to speak in English, and then whenever you don't get a piece of information, I'll say it in Arabic, and Mona will help us to translate. Okay, so I'll try to be clear as possible. And there are graphs that doesn't need that much of talking. So this is the social protection. It's the first time in Egypt that we have social protection system, especially conditional cash transfer. We had before social pension, but it was not comprehensive. It doesn't include health, education, and nutrition. It doesn't include, it was just social protection and spending cash to families without the concept of social protection. So this is our conditional cash transfer in Egypt. We built it after the Latin American model. So we took the Latin American model and we followed the same approach. Why did we do a social protection system? Till 2010, here, the revolution happened. Actually, just major part of the revolution was because of poverty. It's not only political reasons, but there was economic reasons. Is that at that time, the GDP was growing up, but poverty was increasing, wages was decreasing. So the main characteristic in Egypt was the inequity. There was no equity between the rich and the poor, between the urban and the rural, and also between gender issues and people with disabilities. So the social protection is very much linked to the subsidy system. The subsidy system, which was in-kind, not monetary, but paid to everybody. So the issue is that having the subsidy system paid to everybody, it increased the rich, it made the rich more richer and make the poor poorer. So what we did is just an example. Here is the subsidy system for the highest quintile. The richest people population benefited from the subsidy. And the poorest ones, it was minimal. This applies to gasoline, to the natural gas, to electricity, to everything. So what they did is that they said, we will not give in-kind subsidy, we will have it monetary subsidy. So this is the poor benefiting from only this part in the subsidy. This is the non-poor, 43% of the non-poor benefiting from the subsidy, and the near poor, 24%. This means that only the poor benefited from 1/3 of the subsidy. And in addition, the health and education services were degrading because there was no expenditure on the health and education services. So in the first year, when the in-kind subsidy was withdrawn and it was turned out to be monetary and the price of the subsidy went higher, the 18% increase instead of the energy subsidy reform, we have reform on the energy subsidy. It reduced this kind of difference. The health sector budget was increased from 33.5 to 42.2. The education increased from 83 to 94. And the cash transfer increased from 3.2 to 10.7. Only from this part of the subsidy or the energy reform. We have already started the social protection at large, and not only as a program, but as social protection policies, it's not only the program, not small or short-term project, it's policy that is overall the country, and it's not only the Ministry of Social Solidarity, but Ministry of Health, Ministry of Education, Ministry of Interior, Ministry of Agriculture. So it's a program that belongs to the whole government. Maybe the social solidarity leading it, but the ones that really apply is the whole, the overall government. So here we have the cash transfer program. We started a school feeding program. We have food subsidy program for the poorest. We have health insurance program for health coverage or primary health care for people who cannot pay and identified as being poor. We have national TEVET, which is on vocational training. We have upgrading of the slum areas. We have over 140 slum areas in Egypt. We have inclusive housing programs, which is social housing for the poor and for those who do not have houses, or for those whose houses were demolished for a reason or another. We have small and micro enterprise, and we have the poorest villages, development of the poorest villages program. So here we have increased social pension and subsidized public transport and minimum and maximum wages. So it's overall restructuring of the whole government services and looking at the poor from an equity-based perspective. Not all people are equal, definitely, but we're providing them with simple tools and simple assistance that make them at the end all equal, although here they are not. So you're not making the people taller, but you're providing them with assistance that makes their opportunities as equal as others. We started the social safety net program to cover 3 million poor households. These are the poorest 20% of the population, 3 million households, which equates to around 16 million individuals. We developed the social protection, as I said, access to healthcare, education and nutrition for children, food ration cards. This is our conditional cash transfer. We have economic empowerment and income security for the elderly. The most important thing about the social safety net, why did we start a new program, although we have an older one on social pension? The old one does not follow the targeting approach. We have poverty maps, 27 governorates, 10 of them above 45 or 50% poverty. And another 11 governorates between 30 and 50% poverty. So we're going to the targeting approach, geographic targeting, and then proxy means testing, BMT, and then we give the cards to women, not only for women, but women representing the whole families, which empowers the women in a way or another. So it's a source of women empowerment and accordingly, family empowerment. We have the conditionality. Nobody is taking the subsidy except the children go to education with 80% attendance rate. And if they have health services for children from 0 to 6, and for reproductive health services for pregnant mothers and those who are lactating. We have all the system automated now, and we're building up the UNR, which is the Unified National Registry, which is a national database, and we're having a national database also for the poor in order to adjust the subsidy between the different ministries and to harmonize these policies together. We have the coordination It's not only the Ministry of Social Solidarity is applying, but it's coordinating with different partners. The conditional cash transfer is limited to 3 years, and then it is recertified, except for the elderly and the people, for the population with disability, more than 50% disability. Under 50% disability, we provide them with services or employment opportunities. But above 50%, it's subsidy forever, same for the elderly. But for the other household, it's 3 years, and then it's recertified. Also, we have intensive outreach to go and search for the poor and not wait for the poor to come. Because the poor do not always know about the program. They don't have the sufficient official papers, so we help them to issue their IDs, their birth certificates, and maybe they are there, but they don't want to come, they're embarrassed. So we have communication program to reach the poor in the different villages. We also have established accountability mechanisms to counter corruption. Corruption is very high in the social protection systems at large, especially in the disability, stating percentage of disability which is not real, or wrong self-reporting, or having officials helping the people to get into the system although they don't deserve it. Here's the system, Takaful. Takaful is solidarity, which is targets the household who have children from 0 to 18 with health, education, and nutrition classes. And we also have Karama. Karama is dignity, and dignity for the elderly and the people with disabilities. It's actually a melange or a combination of different things. We're not only working on the institutional level, we have the individual level, awareness raising on education and everything, and also building the capacities of government officials, training and development of capacities. We have enabling environment, trying to build the environment of the whole government, all this, and we're strengthening the demand, make the people demand the services. In the meantime, the supply is being improved. This won't happen in 1 year, but it's our longer term. We started it, and it's our longer term strategy. The main principles is that it is human rights based. It is not charity, it's rights. Second thing, the equity, because it actually fits into specific standards and criteria and scores for the poorest. National ownership, we have the World Bank helping us, we have UNICEF, UNDP, WFP, but still we are stating the national ownership. The Ministry of Finance actually allocates budget now from the budget of the country. It's not built on international donations, it's built on the national allocation of budget and being supported in addition by international partners. We have, it's integrated, sorry. It's integrated between different ministries and NGOs, civil society, and it has a developmental approach. These are the amounts. It's the basic 3 to 5, and then every child is increased. This is primary, preparatory, and secondary. As for Karama, it's 35 per month. A family can have 3 Karamas. Excuse me?
Which currency is it?
Egyptian pound. This amount, 350, is around $50 per month. A family can have 3 Karama per household, because Karama, which is the elderly and disability, is individual eligibility. But the careful is family eligibility. So you can have only one takaful per family, but you can have three karama, which equates to 1,500 per month. And you can combine between takaful and karama in one family. The driving forces towards having this program successful is the political support or the government approach. It's having the program budgeted from the Ministry of Finance. We have a social justice committee under the Prime Minister directly. It's newly established. And you have the UNR and integrating them with different programs. To date, we have a complete automation of the whole system. We have 4,000 social workers and researchers who know how to register families using the tablets. We're having the registration on tablets. We registered 1,100,000 households in 10 governorates, which is about 4.6 million individuals. The eligibility testing went through 897,000 families. 506,000 families were provided with disbursements. We developed the grievance mechanisms. We received to date 164,000 grievances. We developed verification mechanism with 7% sample. We established media and advocacy teams in 10 governorates. And we signed protocols with the different ministries. These are the Takaful and Karama ambassadors who promote the program and who help us. And we also developed social accountability to do the community monitoring. This is our expenses. Besides, I will mention other two things and then we'll end up the presentation. Added to the social protection, we have a school feeding program starting next academic year to cover children from 4 to 12 years old. And also to have children health children nutrition at the first 1,000 days of their lives. And we're building this with sectoral linkage, agricultural development, and school feeding. For the economic empowerment program, it's going to be launched in May, which is Forsa. In English, it's opportunity, and it's only built on economic empowerment, agriculture, and rural development projects. To do the economic empowerment and to help in better nutrition for the villages or the population in the villages. We have vocational training program, productive families program for the handicrafts. We're having a private-public partnership with the private sector and with business NGOs, business associations. One village, one product, online market for the local production, village saving and loan associations, which is collective saving, work from home, supply and value chains. The private sector, civil society and donors, it's indispensable to work through partnerships and networking. A government cannot do it alone. The conclusion is, let me say that the challenges and end with the conclusion. We have unpredictable, one of the challenges is that the economic growth, the global economic growth is unstable. It's not only for Egypt, it's many countries, especially the developing ones. We have limited resources at the end. Low institutional capacity and high bureaucracy that needs constantly to be developed. Unsustainable social contract leading to higher expectation. And that's why we're having better government-citizen relationship to regain the trust in the new government. High population growth, and this one we're controlling. Now it's instead of 2.8, it's 2.4. And we have significant level of informality, many people working on the informal sector. I'm concluding with the messages. Inclusive growth is a prerequisite for productive investment climate, so, and for economic growth, for political stability. So I stress on the inclusive growth. We have learned the lesson, not only from Egypt, but from Latin America, thank you to Latin America, to Asia. We are strongly committed to ensure a win-win growth model between the government and the citizens, or between the private sector and the government. We have already taken serious steps towards inclusive growth. We acknowledge the challenges, we're not negating them, we're stressing on them, and we're planning to deal with them. And to achieve inclusive growth, we will work with all stakeholders, as we presented the three pillars: government, NGO, a private sector, international donors, and civil society. Now, these are the examples of pictures from houses. He is presenting or having the registration. This one is visiting home to do the verification, field visits. This is one of the social units. Here's the card. We have the green one for Karama, elderly and disability, the blue one for household. This is the blue one. These are examples of some of the houses that are being supported. And here's the, they take the money through the post office. We issue cards and they take the money through the post office. So thank you very much for, and I hope I'm committed to the time.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nadine.
Should I return?
You can return, because we'll do the other presentations first, and then we'll take the questions. Bueno, gracias. La verdad es que nos habló un poco de los temas comunes que hasta en países tan lejanos y que parecen tan distintos, y son tan distintos, pero los temas sociales tienen temas muy comunes. Y creo que va a haber espacio para el diálogo más tarde, para preguntas y para aprendizaje mutuo.